AgriTalk is brought to you by Golden Harvest. The foundations of a successful season begin with Golden Harvest game-changing corn. Find your hybrid at gamechangingcorn.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here in for Chip. He's traveling home from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, fresh off the Top Producer Summit down there. We're going to get a full update from him when he returns. In the morning, we'll have our standard free-for-all. Everything will be back to normal tomorrow. It's going to be great. But right now, I have the privilege of once again speaking to our friend Chris Bennett, Farm Journal Word Ninja. What's shaking, buddy?
Hey, Davis, how are you doing, brother? Glad to be on here with you, man. Privileged.
Outstanding. Glad to have you. What's the weather like where you're at? How you living?
Oh, man, rocking and rolling. It's a little bit warm, you know. I reckon there's going to be some major weed problems come this spring, but you never know, man. It may finally get cold this year. It just ain't happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, bro, I brought you on to talk about your article about the demographics in China, and just to lay a little bit of groundwork here, and then I'm going to turn you loose. China surpassed the 1 billion population mark in 1981. And at that point, they're thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be overpopulated. We're shooting ourselves in the foot here. So the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, I'm just going to read from your article here, went ultra draconian, reacting to surging population numbers by mandating a nationwide one-child policy. Chris, that include forced abortions, sterilizations, fines, prevented at least, according to your research here, 400 million births. But, baby, it looks like they've overcorrected.
It's a historical stunner. No one knows exactly where this demographic train is going, but it doesn't look like it's going to end well for anyone, and that includes all of the countries that sell products to China. So right now, China's got, you know, 1.4 billion, something like that. It's being surpassed as we speak by China. By India. Any day the reports will come out and tell you that India now has the most populous nation in the world. So China can't recover from its one-child policy that was implemented in the 1970s. They've tried to pull out of the rut, and because of, you know, massive amounts of censorship and government control, their precise population numbers as we go into the future are going to hit a wall, as I said earlier, that's never happened before in history. And how that washes onto U.S. exports, no one knows for sure. And at the same time, in some separate sidecars, you've got an aging nation in China. I'm going to say roughly by 2030, they'll have more people over 60 than we have in the United States. So you'll have 360 million Chinese that are over 60. That changes by itself, Davis. That changes the diet of an entire nation and what they want to import. But if what a lot of demographers see indeed happens, and by 2050 or by 2100, you get a Chinese population that's halved or worse, you're talking about seismic repercussions to the U.S. export market. And hey, things always change, but it's different when you're talking about a nation like no other. We've never been at this historical stage in recorded history.
Now, we in the media, I'm using air quotes for that term, have sort of learned that maybe you can't always trust China's numbers. The worst outlook, according to the UN, their population figures, I believe, have China's population declining by over 60% to 494 million. Feels like, if I'm reading your report right, between the lines, it almost feels like you might take the under on that.
That's a good way to put it. You can't. They tried to pull out of that one-child policy in, 2012, 2016. It boosted it up that you're allowed to have two children. Then they boosted it up to you're allowed to have three children. But they couldn't get society to pull out. Because of that one-child policy, they have a massive distortion between marriage-age bachelors and marriage age females. I think there's more, like maybe 30 million more females in that age bracket. Most of them don't want to have children, period, or get married. So they're, I don't know what their birth rate is right this second, Dave. I'm going to say 1.1, 1.3. And that mirrors a lot of Western Europe and Japan and so on. You come to a stage, I think I put it in an article, where you start realizing you need to produce more coffins than cradles. You need to produce more Depends than baby diapers. And when you get there, if like many people think demography is destiny, then there is something seismic that's going to happen. You got to pay the piper.
Well, and it sounds like not only have they shifted the demography, just with the physical number of humans being produced, they've also perhaps inadvertently shifted the culture away from a culture of parenthood, a culture that aspires to have children, to raise a family. It almost seems like there are segments of the Chinese population who have moved on from the aspiration of starting a family.
That's exactly right. That seems to be the way that prosperity is tied to nations that modernize. It's a terrible thing for the future, but it is happening. We see it happening across the entire planet, except in Africa, of course, where the population appears to be skyrocketing. Yeah. We're going to end up with Nigeria moving from roughly, I think it's about 200 million to 400, 500, 600 million very soon. And the question then for nations that export agriculture products is, okay, we see booming population coming to Africa while all these other nations shrink. But you can't just say, hey, we'll turn our boats around and send them to Africa, because with the chaos of sub-Saharan Africa, which is where all these countries are, you also have to ask a simple question: is can they pay for the ag goods once they get there? Hey, these are all questions to be determined, but my Lord, they certainly need to be examined and chewed on.
You spoke with Todd Thurman, international swine management consultant and owner of SwineTex Consulting Services. He takes a pretty dim view on the future of exports to China.
He does, Davis. He's a super sharp fella, and he's no Cassandra, though. He knows his stuff. Between the lines, he thinks that there's a tremendous amount of space between the ask and the bid. He thinks China's population is really going to take a massive dip, and he is urging the U.S. export community industry to really wake up and take a long look at what might be coming.
So I think maybe, and U.S. ag is doing a pretty good job, an excellent job of reaching out, trying to find new sources of demand. India could be a bright spot for us in the future, and other places. And you talked about Africa, of course, establishing those relationships and kind of getting that up and rolling is definitely going to take some time. What kind of time frame are we talking here before we may see a notable decrease in demand from China? Any idea?
Ooh, I would leave that to scientists and demographers, but I'll say that if China's population, if they indeed have 360 million people over the age of 60 by 2030, just look at the dietary change there. I've heard Todd say it. Look at the amount of dairy that a group of 60-plus-year-olds would consume as opposed to a group of 10-year-olds and below. You've heard Peter Zeehan say China's population might be halved by 2050. Others say 2100. Hey, I don't know. But again, whether the train is moving fast or slow, it's happening. And as Todd Thurman said, these numbers, at least to some degree, are already baked in the pie.
Well, 2100 would give us a little bit more time to reach out and find some new sources of export demand. And of course, we've got domestic demand here. We're hoping we'll kind of come to the forefront for American ag. This is an excellent story, Chris. I'm so glad that you have brought this out, something that definitely needs to be discussed. You've got some more stories coming up. We don't have time to get into them, but I'm just going to tease them a little bit. A set of stolen deer antlers that went missing for 14 years is on your docket. And another one, a farmer who woke up naked at night in the snow had to fight to survive after a PTO accident. Bro, a PTO accident and naked in the snow. None of that sounds good.
No, sir. No, sir. I mean, you already know. Everybody listening already know. It means his clothes were ripped off.
Yeah.
And I'll just add the caveat, Davis, that he had a boot on. He had a boot on.
Oh, he did have a boot. Shirt, okay.
But otherwise, there was nothing on him, not a shred.
Chris Bennett, check out his work at AgWeb. It's always, always a worthwhile expenditure of your time to read what Chris Bennett writes. Chris, have a great day, pal. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, brother. Take care, Davis.
Right on. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk.